I just came from the fellowship hall and looked at the Black History Month display. If you haven't seen it, I will encourage you to go by and take a look at it. What better song than freedom that is so prevalent for us as a people? We have been set free. I'm not talking about from the chains, from the shackles. I'm not talking about from bondage. I'm talking about we've been set free from sin. Because that's the biggest bondage of all. And by Jesus Christ and what he done on the cross, I can say I'm free. It ain't got nothing to do with what man tried to do to me, but everything to what Christ done for me. So I can say I'm free today. Do I have anybody else in here that's free? So I can say hallelujah, because that's the highest praise. So Father God, we love you in this place. We thank you for life, health, and strength. Now Father God, as we expound on your word, when I open my mouth, Lord, you speak through me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father God, for you are good. You have given us this freedom through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that today. Now, Father God, as John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that you may increase. So rise up, King Jesus, and show yourself strong. Father God, open up our ears that we may hear, our heart that we may receive. Open up our spirit so that your will, not our will, but your will be done in our life. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. Give us that same power to forgive others. We ask that you do it all now in the name of Jesus. We pray and we say, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Can the church say amen again?
Amen.
Say it one more time and make the devil mad. Hallelujah.
Glory, glory.
Amen.
I'm going to read into your hearing today a little portion of scripture, of which will be our text as well as we go through the message today. And I want you to hear the words. Amen. Because words are powerful. I want to encourage you, as I said before, if you haven't looked at the Black History Month board in the back, please take a look at that. Let it inspire you. Let it empower you to be who you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Can I say that again? Be who you are. Be the best you can be. Be all God called you to be. And don't ever shy back from that. Because God has called you for greatness. He has called you beyond where you are right now, because today is not your destiny. This is just a part of your journey. If you're struggling right now, go ahead and struggle, because the struggle is real. But with the help of God, he can bring you out. I'm trying to help somebody. You're going through a financial crisis, go through the financial crisis, go on through. But with the help of God, he'll help you. Amen. Now, if you made the mistake and you got there by your own mistake, ask God to help you to stop spending what you don't have. Amen. 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 That's where to start right there. Amen. It'll help right there. Amen. Amen. If you got $10 and you want something to cost $20, just buy something for $10. Amen. Amen. I'm trying to help somebody this morning. Listen, God has called you to greatness, and he is always with you. And no matter what you hear today, I want you to know this. God loves you. He loves you where you are. He loves you where you're at. And he loves you just the way you are. He don't matter. It don't matter to God where you've been or what you've been through. God is not looking at your past. I'm trying to help somebody. He's looking at where he can take you. If you allow him to take you, he will take you into greatness. If you allow him to. If you would allow God to take a hold of you, and he will take you into greatness. As I looked at the board in the back, I looked at all these great people on the board. It was the help of God to help them break through. Didn't even have a picture of Barack Obama. I remember the day. We showed it on the big screen here, his inauguration. The first African-American black president of the United States. My daddy was here. At that time, he was 80-something years old. He's just boo-hooing like he was 2 years old, just crying like a baby. And I'm like, Dad, what's wrong? He said, I never thought in my lifetime, after what I've been through, to see one of us to be the president of these United States. After the way we've been treated, after the way we've been held back. But yet God made a way. That's what he said. God made a way. And when him and Michelle got out the limousine and started walking down the street, I'm like, get back in the car, black man. Get back in the car. The sniper's out there. But he made it not only 4 years, but he got reelected again. Now, just like we saying God was good with Barack, we got to still say God is good even with Trump. God didn't change. The presidency changed, not God. And the Bible said God put those who are in authority and in power. God placed them there. So if I'm going to believe the Bible, I got to believe what's going on today is by the hand of God. If it don't do nothing else but make us go to church more. We need Jesus. So today I want to read a piece of scripture for you. Coming from Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 11 through 15. Jesus, look at somebody, tell them Jesus is talking. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen among anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is the Elijah who was to come. Right. He who has ears, let him hear. Can I go back to verse number 12? From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. Forcefully, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing. I'm trying to help somebody right now. And forceful men lay hold of it. This morning, just for a little while, I want to talk about taking over in the kingdom. See, some of us are in the kingdom, but we ain't taking over. We just along for the ride. But it's now it's time for us to take over forcefully. And forceful men lay hold of it. So this morning, taking over in the kingdom. I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus came to take over the world. He didn't come for half. He came to take over the world. He had 12 men who he pulled aside and said, hey, brothers, I'm going to show you some stuff in this kingdom of God, and I want you to take over the world. Did he not say, go ye into all the world? He said, yes, start at home. But then from home, you need to branch out to the uttermost parts of the world. Jesus came to take over. Some of us are just comfortable at home, but sometimes home just won't do it. You can only do so much in your house. You can only do so much at home. God wants you to get out beyond the walls. It's only so much we can do in here. God is calling us to do greater and better things outside the four walls of this building. And he's calling us into greatness. He's calling you into greatness. Listen. The kingdom of God is taking over whether you are part of it or not. Just want you to let you know that. Whether you want to be in or half out or straddling the fence, the kingdom of God is taking over. And there's going to come a time when the kingdom of God will have taken over. The question is, will you be part of the takeover? The work of John the Baptist had not been in vain. He had pointed away from himself towards Jesus. And the crowd started following Jesus. Even those who was John the Baptist's disciples started to follow Jesus. John's preaching had contributed towards paving the way for Christ. He started to say, repent and be ye baptized. Repent and be ye baptized. A man crying out in the wilderness. People came from the town to where he was to hear what John the Baptist was talking about. We must be like John, fearlessly striving ahead in the gospel, forcefully making our way into the kingdom, staying there and helping others to enter in. Is everybody in your house saved? If not, start there. I said it 2 weeks ago, if one or two things going to happen, they either going to leave or they're going to get saved. John paved the way for Christ's ministry. We are called to pave the way for Christ's second coming. I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus is coming back again. Listen, John was the herald, the messenger who announced that after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. Yes. We are the heralds announcing Christ's second coming and the need for all men everywhere to repent and be born again. Jesus himself said, I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God. You can come to church. That don't mean you in the kingdom. Shut up, sweetheart. You can come to church. That don't mean you're going to do what God called you to do. You can come to church. That don't mean you're going to praise and worship and praise his name. You can come to church, but that don't mean you are in the kingdom until you've been born of water and the Spirit. Somebody asked a question this morning, why some people don't praise God. They ain't been born again. So here's a few things I want you to take to heart today as we talk about taking over in the kingdom. Number one, make every effort for kingdom takeover. Did you wake up this morning thinking about how you can take over in the kingdom of God? Or did you wake up just saying, I'm going to church? I'm going to shake you up today. This is not just another church service. I'm challenging you to be an overcomer. And to start taking over some things in the kingdom of God. Look at somebody and tell them, I'm an overcomer. The kingdom, says Jesus, ever since the day of John's first appearance upon the scene has been pressing forward vigorously and forcefully. The kingdom is doing so even now. The sick, Jesus said, the sick is being healed. Lepers are being cleansed. The dead is being raised. The blind to see. The lame to walk. And sinners are raised to a new life in the kingdom of God in Jesus Christ. However, not everyone has entered in. Hello. Many, multitudes, millions and millions of people even now are refusing and resisting the kingdom of God. Some folk are even nowadays worshiping the devil. Wake up, church. They're coming out the closet. They'll tell you to your face. Can I get a witness? I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. They'll tell you to your face. This is who I worship. The devil's my God. Never seen such a thing. But God said if they keep on living that way, he'll turn them over to a reprobate mind. He'll let you do your thing. Why? Because he know at the end, God don't do his thing. Shut up, sweetheart. Your thing is going to be temporary. His thing going to be everlasting. Many people, many groups remain unreached with the gospel. But vigorous and forceful men and women who will not compromise with the word, who are prepared to follow the whole counsel of God, no matter what the cost to themselves, such individuals are eagerly taking possession of the kingdom. If I own it, I can control it. And I'm going to take possession of my kingdom area. Hello. 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 I don't know about you, but I'm going to take possession of what God has put me in charge of. Hello. He told Adam, here it is. You have dominion and power. You have authority over everything. Here it is. Everything. Everything is under your dominion. He did not take that away from him when they had to leave the Garden of Eden. He still had the power, the dominion, and the authority in him. God didn't take it from him. He had to just leave his presence and could no longer stay in a place. God said, we got to get them out of here because they might partake of the tree of life. Some of us need to understand that there are some things in us that we haven't even touched yet. Folk who are going after the kingdom are not going after it with their might. But they're going to go with it with every fiber of their being in the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. Working out our own soul salvation in fear and trembling and eagerly and forcefully helping others to get there through the fearless proclamation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. If I've been set free, I want to set everybody free I know. What Jesus is telling us in Matthew 11, 12 is that we cannot sleep our way into the kingdom. You can't ride in on grandma's coattail. You can't get there sitting on your do nothing. On the contrary, entrance into the kingdom requires an earnest endeavor, great effort, untiring energy, and the utmost exertion of your whole self. You can't halfway be in the kingdom. Jesus said, I wish you would make a decision. I wish you would be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. It's like a bad taste in my mouth, and I'm going to spit you out because you can't make a decision. If you're going to be hell-bent on hell, be hell-bent on hell.
But if you're going to serve me, come and serve me. But don't straddle the fence. Don't be in the club Saturday night and wear the same outfit Sunday morning to church. Make a decision. What you going to do? In Luke 13:24, listen what it said. Make every effort. Every effort. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able. Acts 14:21-22. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. How many of you know when you out there on the bout, you get tired.
Right.
You get weary.
Yeah.
Some folks really drag you down just being in their presence. They start to drag. You walked in happy, but after you talk to them, you felt like you've been dragged through the mud. Somebody got to encourage you to strengthen you, that you continue to fight the good fight of faith. Encouraging them. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. That's what they said. Taking over in the kingdom of God will not be easy. Can I get a witness? But let's look at somebody. Let's look at Jesus. In Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. Then he manifests the reality of the kingdom by healing the sick, casting out devils, deliverance of the bound and the oppressed and the afflicted was proof that the kingdom had come. They had not seen such power before. Although folks was in church. Also, although the Pharisees and Sadducees was having worship in the synagogues, but they had never seen this kind of miracle work done before. Matthew 12:28, Jesus said, but if I by the Spirit of God cast out devils, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. The point is, the kingdom of God is real. Can I help somebody? The kingdom of God, it rules over the kingdom of the devil. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where you stand in the kingdom of God against the spirits of the devil, which may be in people who you come across. It ain't the people. Let's get that clear. I said it 2 weeks ago. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, spiritual wickedness, and how we wrestle against the spiritual forces of the devil and the demons that he has. And so therefore, it's not the person. It's the demon and devil in the person. So start speaking to let your spirit speak to that spirit, and you no longer run from the devil and the demons. The Bible says stand. Resist the devil, and guess what he'll do? Y'all don't hear me. Y'all don't hear me. Let somebody, there's two sides to the gospel. Saying and doing. I got a lot of folks saying some stuff, but ain't doing nothing. Jesus said it and he did it. The disciples said it and they did it. It's two sides. If we're not doing both sides, we're not doing God any good service.
Right.
It says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What good is saying something if you can't back it up? Some people will take you up on it and find out you can't back it up, then beat you up. Amen. In other words, the kingdom of God is not just a concept or theory to be grasped intellectually. But the kingdom of God is a kingdom of power. Jesus is the king and the Holy Ghost is the power. Can I help somebody right there for a second? We serve the king, but he sent us the power. The kingdom of God is not the rule, the dominion, the authority of Jesus Christ manifested to us by the power of the Holy Ghost to prove to the world that Jesus is alive. Yeah. What good is it for me to proclaim Jesus and I'm poor and broke down? I'm talking about in spirit. Yeah, right. I ain't talking about financially. Because I know some folk in here right now ain't got a dime in your pocket. I literally don't have a dime in my pocket, but I ain't poor by no means. My grandmother knew how to raise us. My mom and dad knew how to raise us. I didn't realize we was poor till I was grown. Some of us didn't know we was poor till we got grown and we started looking back and like, daggone, we were poor. Started looking back. Oh, that was government cheese. I didn't realize. I thought mama just went to the store. Big old block of cheese that long. But it makes some good grilled cheese sandwich. Macaroni and cheese. Y'all better recognize. Thought food stamps was real money. Tearing them out the book. I got $5. That was a food stamp. We thought it was real money. So we wasn't poor. I never missed a meal. My clothes was always clean. My grandma, mama, and daddy had Jesus. That's the power that they had to prove to the world that Jesus was alive. I may have been poor, but we was never broke. The gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of power. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first and also to the Greek." Romans 14:17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost." It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom of righteousness. You can't have sin in your life and operate in the kingdom authority and power. Don't work. You can't join in the kingdom. You must be born. Shut up. You must be born into it. You can't come with your credit card and say, "Can I get in?" You can't have a deposit down. Amen. You got to be born into the kingdom. John 3:3 said, "Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 said, "Except the man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." The kingdom of God is not for the passive. It's for the passionate. Sometimes our passion get confused with anger. If we raise our voice, they make me an angry black man. You're a mad black woman. You're aggressive. No, you're passionate about what you're feeling. We express ourselves with the passion that we have towards something. Yeah, I know sometimes our voices may get a little louder. That's fine. That's fine. That's fine if our voices get a little louder. That's fine. That don't mean I'm mad.
No, it don't.
Amen. I heard you, Sister Yvette. She said, when I get quiet, that means I'm mad. You better be glad I'm talking. You better be glad I'm saying something, because when I get quiet, I'm starting to think something else now.
Come on, Bridget. Come on, Bridget.
We got to be passionate about this thing, the kingdom of God. Are you passionate about coming to church? Are you passionate about reading your Bible? Are you passionate about spending time with God? Are you passionate about it? If you want kingdom power, you have to pursue it. It ain't going to fall in your lap. You got to go after it. Matthew 12:11 in this version says, from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violence take it by force. Why we have to be passionate about it? Why we got to take the kingdom by force? Well, second point, Satan's schemes and the day of evil. In these last days, Satan is using all the schemes and wiles that he can put together. Can I get a witness? And along with his host of demons, he has learned to use crafty methods to attack the people of God and the body of Christ. How many of you know the devil don't come at you the same way twice? Because he knows as Christians, we've seen him coming that way before, and he ain't gonna trick us that way. So he gotta come a different way. Let me help those of you who have children and grandchildren. The devil know you grown. He know he done hit you with a lot of stuff before, and you can see him come. Matter of fact, you done removed some of the buttons he used to push. You done got rid of them. So the devil, he know he can't push them buttons no more. But here come this child you got. I don't care if they 2, 20, 30, 40, 50. This child of yours, who is your heart, to get to your heart, he gonna start coming through your child. Because your child can do no wrong. Shut up, straight horn. They can be a murderer on death row, and the mama still be in court talking about, that's my baby. The devil know he can't trick you, but he will get you through your child. I figured this out when I was about 17 years old. I get in trouble. And I hated the expression, PK kids are the worst kids. And I figured it out. We're not the worst kids. We just the one the devil mess with. To get to our parents who love the Lord. Because we are their heart. When I figured that out, I stopped being bad. Because it was causing anguish to my dad, who had to pastor a church and other folk. And I'm not going to create another confusion in the house. When I figured that out, the devil stopped messing with me. I taught my children the same thing as they was growing up. I said, anytime you try to do something, you're going to be the first one to get caught. Anytime anything go down, and if you're in the vicinity, they're going to blame it on you. And when it started happening, when they got a little bit old, they said, Dad, it's true. So we got to realize the devil ain't going to trick you the same way twice. And when he start coming through your children, the best thing you can do is start covering them with the blood. You cover them with the blood of Jesus Christ. And tell the Lord to protect your child, to keep their heart, to keep them strong. I know that train is about to wreck, God, but I'm going to let it wreck this time. I'm going to get out your way and let you have your way and let that train wreck, because when it wrecks, they might come to their senses, because every time I stop it, they don't have no respect. They don't thank you. They don't say nothing to you. They act like you're the worst enemy in the world. But I'm trying to help somebody to understand, it ain't your child. It's the devil in your child. So the best thing you can do as a parent is step back, let that train wreck, and then your child become the prodigal son. If I just go back home. That's when they learn to say, thank you, mama. That's when they learn to say, I appreciate you. But until they've been through some stuff, been to hell and back, they ain't gonna recognize you've been praying over their lives. Gotta step back. So this is what Paul tells us in Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord. Because when your child is going through, you gotta be strong. To see your child suffer, you gotta be strong. In the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Some of us know we got children right now mad at us. Stand strong. We're certainly living in the day of evil. We've seen a recent attacks on the church in terms of its stance on righteous living, family values, and bringing holiness back in the church. That's why I said you got to be here for the training. There's about to be a shift in the atmosphere. The enemy has been working delicately and has fooled many to the extent where man has allowed what's okay in the world to be okay in the church. Tell somebody it ain't okay in the church. It ain't okay in the church. The Apostle Paul warns us in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Lovers of money. Boastful. Proud. Abusive. Disobedient to their parents. Ungrateful. Unholy. Without love. Unforgiving. Slanderous. Call you everything but a child of God. Without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness. They look good. They come to church. They know how to lift up holy hands. They can shout, jump, and praise God just like you, but have a form of godliness, but have no power. But then, this is where we have an issue. This is where we have a problem. Because Paul goes on and say, have nothing to do with them. But we call some of them our friends. Our Facebook buddies. Our BFFs. And everything else. But they act like this. Oh, they going to be our... How many of you know that evil will corrupt good every time? And if you got folks in your circle that acts like any of that, you need to change your friends. Church, we're in a war. And I ain't taking no prisoners. Therefore, it takes forceful men and women who are violent in the spirit, who are eager to fight, to conquer and to overcome Satan, and thus take possession of the kingdom of God and all the blessings of being saved in his kingdom. Not only that, in this war, believers must be prepared to forge ahead with all the power of the Holy Spirit within them to invade the devil's kingdom, to take hold of his goods, which are sinners under his control, and help them to come into the kingdom of God. The kingdom then is not for weaklings,
nope,
wavers,
nope,
or compromisers.
Nope.
It's not for people like Balaam. Second Peter 2:2. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed broods. They have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness, but he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. Now you know God's trying to help you out when he calls a donkey to talk to you. When the donkey turn around, you riding on and look at you and say, you know you wrong. You know that ain't nobody but God trying to get your attention. It's not for people like the rich young ruler who placed a high value on his riches than salvation in Jesus Christ. Lord, I want to be with you. What must I do to be saved and follow you? Sell all your possessions and give it to the poor. Bible said he walked away salty. That's today's name. Yeah. What he didn't understand, if I sold all my goods and gave it to the poor, Jesus would give me twice as much. He thought his possession was the fullness of who he was. And therefore, if I lose my possession, then I'm nothing. How many of you know I would rather lose it all for Jesus? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not for people like Pilate, who would rather follow the crowd for the sake of being popular rather than follow his personal convictions and the voice of his wife. His wife came and told him, leave that man alone. He ain't done nothing. Leave him alone. He ain't just no regular man. You playing around with fire here now, Pilate. Then he thought, his blood is on your hands. What y'all want to do with him? I'm not making a decision here. What y'all want to do? You made a decision by asking them what they want to do when you're the king, when you're the emperor. The power was in your hands. But Jesus helped them understand, you ain't got no power. No man take my life. I guess he was shaking when Jesus said that. No, when you're in authority and somebody look you to your face and say, nobody takes my life. In other words, I'm going to lay it down freely. Because if I want this whole thing to go down right now, all I got to do is think that I don't want to. And a legion will come down from heaven and tear up this whole world. When you say, I lay down my life, yeah, brother, that's power. You ain't taking nothing. Because if I decide to stop it, I can stop it. It's not for people like Demas, who will desert you in the middle of the fight and fall in love with this present world. But can I remind somebody, this world is not your home. You just passing through. Then who is the kingdom for? The kingdom is for the strong and sturdy. People like Joseph, who when tempted by Potiphar's wife, stood firm and said, how then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? She grabbed him by his cloak, and the boy ran out without his clothes on. I got to go. I got to go. But how many of you know sometimes the devil just try to set you up? Because that woman lied on that brother. Lord Jesus, she lied because when her husband came home, she said, Potiphar, that young Hebrew boy that you had in this house that looked good anyway, amen. Because the Bible said he was a good looking man. He tried to seduce me. Here's his clothes to prove that he was in here with me. Now, like any good husband, you're going to believe your wife. Lying the whole time. But he sent that boy to prison. But how many of you know that God still got his hand on him? That wasn't his destiny. That was just part of his journey. He had to go through prison to get to Pharaoh. No. Can I go a step further? He had to go through prison to save Israel from the famine. Had nothing to do with him. God showed him when he was a young boy that he was going to be in a position of power, even over his own daddy. His own brothers didn't like it. Brothers said, we got to kill this dreamer. You would think folks who in your family would be on your side. Man, you're going to get me stuck. Let me keep moving. Pete, I told you earlier, get out my message, didn't I? Amen. People like Daniel and his friends who replied to the king, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve, Lord Jesus, is able to save us from it. And he will rescue us from your hand, oh, King. That's another threat right there. You mess with me, you got to mess with God. But even if he does not, this is when you got to know you in the kingdom of God. Even if I die, God still got me. We want you to know, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. You got to be able to tell some folk, I ain't going down your road. Just not going to do it. I ain't going down your road. Nope. Got to be like people like Stephen, who when martyred for his faith, could still say a prayer for his killers. How many of y'all pray for your haters? I'm glad to see that. The Bible said, pray for those who hate you and despisefully use you and call you all manner of names. Here's what he said. While they were stoning him, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. While they are stoning him, he's praying for them. We got to learn sometime if our haters are hating, start praying right then. They'll look at you like you're crazy. Be like, "What? I'm praying for you." Because if you really knew who you was messing with. The Bible said, touch not my anointed. And do my prophet no harm. If you really understood who you was messing with, you wouldn't mess with me. People like Paul, in his singleness of mind and purpose, he said, brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do. I was talking to my brother earlier. We were talking about the Black History stuff. And I've been where he's been because sometimes I don't like to talk about Black history. Because it brings up a different feeling sometimes. Sometimes anger, sometimes rage. And sometimes wanting to do something. Amen. I remember, how many of y'all remember when Roots first came out? I was in junior high school. It was a fight every single day. Because we come in school mad. Amen. But out of our conversation, we learned to let the past go and look what God has for our future. And this is what Paul is saying. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I name some men, but let us not forget such brave women as Ruth. Deborah. Boy, that sister. Gee, if you haven't read about Deborah, whew, Lord. She like staking people in the head, killing people with spears. Men start following. I'm going to follow Deborah. If she go, I'm going. Esther, Lilia, just to mention a few great women of God who have shown themselves strong in the Lord and in his kingdom. Acts 10:38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that was oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus' message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he delivered the people from their sins, and he healed their bodies, and he drove out demons, and he raised the dead. Then he sent the disciples out, and they did the same thing. Hello, somebody. They preached the kingdom of God. They cast out devils. They healed the sick. They destroyed the works of the devil everywhere they went. Now he sends us out to do the same thing, to preach the kingdom of God and to demonstrate it by miracles, signs, and wonders. Bible said, 2 Colossians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for who? For who?
Christ.
As though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Ambassadors are sent forth with full power and authority to represent the kingdom that sent them.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
If you've been born again, you are an ambassador in the kingdom of God. Our embassy is right here at 809 Charlotte.
All right. All
right. This is where we get instruction from our chief, commander chief, to go out into a world that is hostile to us because this is not our territory. We are ambassadors, but guess what? As an ambassador, I got the same power. When our troops go overseas, they have the same power of the United States. They are fighting in the name of the United States. We give them all power and authority to deal with whatever they're dealing with the way they have to deal with it. And let me tell you this, church, half of the stuff they deal with, we don't even know about. There's some stuff they do on a daily basis we don't want to know about. I'm just glad I get to sleep in my bed at night.
Amen. Amen.
Let them do their thing. Special forces, G.I. Joes, whatever they are. Let them do what they do. I applaud them. All our service guys who've been in the Marines, been in service, I applaud you. Thank you for your service. I get to sleep at night because they on the front line. Guess what? Your children should be able to sleep at night because you on the front line. Our community should be able to sleep at night because we on the front line. Jesus said, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's who we are, church. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God today. We are here representing Jesus Christ, our commander in chief. We are here with full authority and power to announce that the kingdom of God is in your hands. We are here to declare to you that Satan is a thief and a liar and a trespasser who has no legal right or authority to your life in any way, shape, or form. Jesus Christ paid in full your salvation, your healing, your deliverance, your miracles, your restoration of your marriage, your freedom of your mind, your peace on the cross. Jesus paid it all. God's plan is that every single one of us get the revelation of his kingdom that is in us, and we go in Jesus' name and start setting people free. What do we have? We have his blood. Hello. We have his name. We have his word. We have his spirit. We have his power. We have the gospel of the power. We don't just carry a message. We carry the power within us. We carry the king. We carry the kingdom that is within us. The king lives in us and wants us to manifest his power through us. The plan of God is that every believer would not only be saved from sin, but would take their rightful place as kings and priests and begin to rule and reign with Jesus over Satan's kingdom and his works. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something, church. The kingdom of God is about territory. Can I help somebody? The kingdom of God is about territory. Everything the devil has, he holds illegally. Can I say that one more time? I'm going to go home. Everything he holds illegally. He's a trespasser. He's a thief. He's a robber. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, it all belongs to God. The kingdom of God is taking back the territory that has been purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. The devil don't own this world. He's just here temporarily. Read your Bible. The devil is trespassing on kingdom property. The Bible tells me the earth is the Lord's. Everything in it. The world and all who lives in it. So you belong to God. I'm going home. Your family belong to God. I'm going home. This church belongs to God. This block belongs to God. This territory belongs to God. This city belongs to God. This community belongs to God. This state belongs to God. The legal owner is here. The squatters gotta go. Hello, somebody. The kingdom of God is taking over through the power and the blood of Jesus Christ, through the authority of Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is come. So let his will be done. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost is all taken over. Give the Lord a praise and start with it.